they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me death!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We've got to stop them! They're going to kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so orient. Makes you so sick at heart that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio of FreedomSlips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Right, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
You gotta wake up to a world that's real. You gotta rise up and make it feel. Life in full measure is more than just pleasure. Wake up and live. You gotta wake up to a world in need. You gotta get up and begin to lead. A life in full measure is more than just pleasure. Wake up and live. You only have one life to live. You only keep that which you
morning. This is the Reveille program, a wake-up call. My name is Michael Jay, and I'm your host. Out here in the left coast in California, the clock sprang forward and we lost an hour of sleep. Praise God. The issue is we're linked with so many systems nationally and internationally across this earth that certain times allow us to see that this linkage is not something we control. Even my smartphone was used to wake me up an hour earlier. Praise God. And I felt in my spirit, you know, it really doesn't seem like it was long enough. The sleep I had expected was terminated by my smartphone alarm. I'm really glad, actually, I turned the alarm on last night. But this is the Reveille program, a wake-up call. Today is the 12th day of March, Sunday, in the year of our Lord, 2023. We're broadcasting on Revolution.radio and freedomslips.com on Studio A. Our producer is Mitchell Bupp. This program is an opportunity for fellowship and sharing, for discussion and prayer, and for offering thanksgiving and prayer to the Almighty God. This happens because we're experiencing the gifts that God has given us. Gifts of faith are imparted to people who have been experiencing being reconciled back to God through believing in the gift of God. We're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, and not of works, lest any man should boast. We've been, as Christians, experiencing God's working in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure, and because he has been showing us his love, that love brings about an experience of a gracious fellowship with our God, our Creator, our Savior. People that experience his presence because they have met with one another and exercised themselves in a faith in Jesus Christ, we've experienced him being with us. Ministering to us with the evidence of his presence, the living words of God being expressed and accepted and received because he said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And it, especially in the lives of people who have received the power of God in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, described in its release on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 1 and chapter 2, actually the whole book of Acts and all the rest of the New Testament, all of these books were written with the help of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the Gospels also. The Gospels were not written while the disciples were going through what they were going through before the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and his ascension into the heavens that's manifest in the Gospels. They wrote the Gospels afterwards under the power and inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God and of Christ. And the reality of the power of God in our lives is something very personal, because as individuals we can sense his presence, his guidance, the still small voice of God, and the living words which quicken us and impart faith. The Reveille program is offered as an opportunity to consider spiritual truth. The spiritual truths that bring men to places that let them encounter and receive gifts of faith because we share the Word of God. And faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the Word of God. Like the Lord said, blessed are those that have ears to hear. Not everyone that hears the words that are written in the Word of God actually perceive and understand that they are living words to others who have been quickened and given spiritual ears so that we can actually hear God talk to us. And this program is about revealing that amazing grace that is imparted into the lives of those that God has brought to himself through gifts of faith in Jesus Christ. God ordains the temporal and eternal good of men who he allows to receive his gifts of salvation. Please join me in praying the prayer our Savior taught to his disciples. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. Give to us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The title and subject of this morning's conversation, because this is a call-in program, and for today I will allow people to call in anytime. This program is going to reveal horrific and unstoppable circumstance. Truth that reveals that God has brought us to a place where it was inevitable and now it has begun. We can call it the beginning of the end of a certain very important part of our lives. It has already begun and it cannot be stopped. The Word of God teaches us that the whole world lies in the wicked one. And the prince of this world, Lucifer, Satan, controls billions of people who have not experienced the grace of being given and being able to receive eternal life and become a new creation. As it is written, you must be born again in order to see the kingdom of God. And it is written, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. People who have not been reconciled to God by the work of the Holy Spirit, who have not received the good news of the gospel, as it is written, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation for those who believe. It is written, he came to his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on his name. There will be a huge, immeasurable separation in the earth today between two disparate peoples. God's people, he calls the sheep of his pasture. Children of the devil are called the goats, the wicked, the unredeemed, the accursed, the damned. The reality is what is happening, what has been happening, what we have been warning about is that the systems of this world are temporary. Consider, if you will, the story of the ark. Consider, if you will, the story of the ark. But let me tell you that something has happened that is just like the beginning of the drops of rain. The work of God's Spirit in the earth is all about revealing what God has done to reconcile men to himself, saving men from eternal loss and exile to a place infinitely devoid of goodness, comfort, and rest. And this grace of salvation was accomplished by God giving his Son the grace and strength to become flesh, to live a perfect and sinful life, and pay with his own suffering and death the price that justifies a holy God, justifies a gloriously holy God in offering all men redemption from the curse of eternal condemnation that abides over all men in this creation. The title and subject for this morning's conversation is, If the Foundations Be Destroyed, What Can the Righteous Do? We are witnessing the snares of wickedness closing in on and trapping people in devices that brought us into dependence and codependence. Our utterly corrupt fractional reserve banking system is bringing about its planned fiscal suicide after it has already spoiled hundreds of millions of people throughout the earth. What does this mean? Many people warned others about this planned destruction of assets. The links of all banks under international central banks, the international central bank system, have made the whole system a huge construct of dominoes. And the first dominoes have begun to fall with the inevitable process of millions of dominoes that hit one another, one right after the other. And this process will not end until all the people in the world in this system are forced into a digital control of all financial instruments. A hugely significant bank, something called the Bank of Silicon Valley, a very special bank, has crashed after people they used as an instrument encouraged them to invest more in the bank, and then the people that understood what was happening raided that bank and removed all of its assets and left people that had multi-million, maybe even billion-dollar accounts in that bank high and dry. Not all of those people that were invested in that bank lost. The higher up people probably, you know, were shown to move their assets. But what's going on is this is the beginning of the destruction of the fractional reserve system created by the central banks, first of all in Europe in the 1600s and the 1500s under Rothschild and his sons, who went to five different places in Europe, Britain being one of them, where the central bank was called the City of London. These people have been historically the Bank of the Vatican. This is a cabal where the Zionists and the Lucifer worshippers, the Zionists of the central bank and the Lucifer worshippers of the Vatican were interdependent, and they were working together for this construct which has taken hundreds and billions and trillions of dollars of the wealth of people, who were seduced into their banking system, and it's now done what is necessary to begin the process of the crash of the central banks. We can't measure the implications of this. We can't. It's impossible. Many people who have been using their bank cards, credit or debit cards, will begin to understand that they won't be able to go and get Federal Reserve notes in the time that they've allotted for this transition. This will become real. They won't be able to get Federal Reserve notes. They will only be able to pay with ones and zeros. Digital money, which is not money. If you don't have currency that you can hold on to and spend where you want to, when you want to, with whom you want to, you are already a captured slave to this financial system. You've already been captured. People on Social Security, people that have their retirement programs, if their retirement programs have not been kept safe, like all the people that have lost their 401ks or their 401ks turned to mush because of the planned destruction of our currency by forced inflation and poopy pants Biden sending hundreds of billions of dollars to Zelensky, that sodomite, mass murdering dirtbag whose job has been to shove hundreds of thousands of Ukrainian soldiers into the maw, into the open jaws of the Russian bear. And these people are being destroyed intentionally by Zelensky because they have wanted to empty out Ukraine. They wanted to empty out of Ukraine the Ukrainian people. This was the plan from the beginning. This is what they've done in shoving men into wars between their dialectic of the Protestant groups in the world were being crushed by the Catholic groups controlling the Nazis and the communist groups that were controlled by the Bolsheviks, the Ashkenazi, and the fake Jews, the Khazarian mafia. This has always been about destroying God's people in the earth, because there is one group that Lucifer, Satan, and the demonized children of the Baphomet goat children, there's one people they hate more than anything else, because the demons that are manifest in their hatred, in their lust, in their antichrist blasphemies and Satan worship, the one people they have already always hated, through millions, literally over 100 million people being slaughtered by the Vatican in their inquisitions, in their religious wars, the millions of people that have been slaughtered by the Vatican have, you know, that was always for them blood sacrifice for the temple of Lucifer that sits in Vatican City on the hill of the serpent. So today, we're facing something that is inevitable, like the first raindrops that people saw. By the time they began to see the rain, the Lord had already closed the door on the ark. Does this mean that people can't be saved? No, this is not about a physical ark. That physical ark where Noah and his three sons and their wives the physical ark, was a sign. It was actually symbolic of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are some wonderful studies that have been done showing the symbolic significance of the ark and how it points to Christ. Our Savior is not a physical being at this time. I'm talking about physical with respect to a temporal reality. He has not returned. When the glorious ruling and reigning King of Kings and Lord of Lords returns to this earth, he will be much more than physical because he's made out of eternal stuff. He's been transformed into glorious, transcendent, eternal substance that can never fade away. It's incorruptible. It can't be defiled. And every one of his children who will be transformed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, every one of his children will be transformed in his return. We will, the word of God says that when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, we will be changed to become like him, because we will see him as he is. When these eyes, these temporal eyes, see the Lord, and we'll see him, he's going to be manifest in ways that will defy our sense of temporal physics, because we're dealing with a spiritual being. That reality of his presence transcends length, width, height, and time. I don't know how God's going to do it. The word of God says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those that love him. But what I'm saying to you is the beginning of the end of this world structure that will be and is being used to bring about years of trial and tribulation, that has begun now in a way where the inevitable domino effect has overtaken us. The links of all banks under international central banks have made the whole system a huge construct of dominoes. And the first dominoes have begun to fall with the inevitable process that will never end until we are all forced into a digital control of all financial instruments, because your central banks are all linked and they're controlled by the Lucifer worshipers, the Satan worshipers, who love money more than God. And their foundation of their whole being is the love of money, which is the root of all evil, in covetousness, in idolatry, in blasphemy, in theft, in extortions, in hatred, and in murder. These people have begun to manifest and show their real face. And there's nothing that's going to stop this, because this horrific judgment on the earth has been ordained by God. I've quoted a proverb many times on this program and on my Friday program, The Road to Damascus, that the Lord has made all things, yea, even the wicked, for the day of evil. And we have begun to see the day of evil manifest as we've watched these people in their craven hatred for other men bring about things like the murder of the people in the Twin Towers, and before that, the murder of the people in the Alfred P. Murrah building, and before that, the murder of the people in Waco and Ruby Ridge. We have seen this country under the control of public serpent whores, children of hell, who do not mind blood sacrifice. They've been sending us into wars that they have constructed and financed to both sides. They've been sending us into false flag wars like Vietnam. We created all that was necessary in creating Red China in order to create North Korea, in order to have the Korean War, then the Vietnam War, and the other conflicts, the slaughter of hundreds of thousands of good people in Panama under George Herbert Walker Bush, that horrific pedophile who is now burning in hell, having his spiritual body torn in sunder how many times over and then put back together again so it can happen again and again. This is the horrific torments of people receiving in their soulish bodies, though their spirits are dead. They don't have anything of the life-giving spirit of God in them. When they go down into hell, the image of God is manifest in a soul defined by spiritual death. So the monsters are in hell now. The pedophiles are in hell now. The devil worshipers, the people who gave us child sacrifice and called it a woman's choice, the fornicators, the unbelievers, all these people, many of them thrown in hell almost 6,000 years ago or more, because we're headed towards the 7,000 timeline in time. I don't know if we have to wait for the 7,000 year timeline, because God knows that eternity was manifest in the earth for something like a eternal time prior to death coming into the creation, because prior to that, Adam, man that was created by God, Adam had time in the garden where he was able to name all the animals. And after he named all the animals, then God put him to sleep and created Eve out of one of his ribs. So how long was Adam experiencing eternal life in the garden before God gave him a wife? And it could be my lack of understanding, which is really my default in myself, that Adam and Eve were created on the same day. I don't know. But it says in the sixth day he created Adam, created man, male and female created he them. So, okay. But what does it mean that there wasn't found someone that was adequate for Adam, and then God created Eve? I don't know. God knows. His understanding is infinite. What we're dealing with today is a process where our fellowship with God is something where we can take God at his word. When he was talking to his prophet Isaiah to ancient Israel, about 500 years after David, he was saying to ancient Israel, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they will be as wool. He was calling his people out of darkness, out of spiritual death, out of rebellion and witchcraft. And the word of God says, most of his people in Jerusalem at that time, the Iudeans, they did not repent. And it got so bad that the Lord said that to Isaiah, don't pray for these people anymore, because I'm not going to save them. The issue is, there comes a time when the Lord says, okay, that's it. I've shown you. You have continued to reject the grace I've been offering you. And now the door is closed. We can consider the story Jesus told about the wise virgins and the foolish virgins. They were all a part of a community of God's people, but the foolish virgins did not continue to walk with God, did not continue to keep their lamps filled with oil. And what is that oil? It's the oil of the Holy Spirit. And that when they went to get some oil, because it was in the middle of the night, and they heard that the Lord was coming, as it is written, the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Somewhere on the flat earth, when the Lord returns, it's going to be nighttime. I know that. But he's talking there about a spiritual night, a season of darkness, where millions of people will be destroyed in what is called the tribulation. And millions of Christians will give their lives in what is called the tribulation, where men will experience being decapitated because they refuse to deny that Jesus is the Christ. Well, God is sovereign. I remember when there was this big push from people who were teaching doctrines of demons about the rapture, and Hal Lindsey wrote this book, The Late Great Planet Earth, and then afterwards other false teachers began to teach about, you know, Left Behind and all that. And the whole thing that came out of the pulpits was a perverted sense of God doing something terrible to his people. That is, he was using the fear of the tribulation to scare people into accepting Christ. They would have this sense of, well, you know, if you're in a plane and the pilot is raptured, you know, that's it. Okay, they didn't understand that any plane that's out there today that's a commercial airliner can be guided like the plane that was guided into the Pentagon, you know, because all planes, like just like the Mercedes that was the Mercedes where Princess Diana and the father of her unborn child were in, they could take over all kinds of cars today with electronic steering. They can lock all the doors and they can just push down on the accelerator digitally by control, and they can ram that Mercedes right into a big column, as they did. Well, they could take over that plane that hit the Pentagon and ram it right into the Pentagon, which they did. So any plane that's up there where they want to get rid of everybody because the pilot is not one of them, he's, you know, maybe a Christian they want to get rid of, they could just take over all the planes. They don't need the rapture. And hey, they've got self-driving cars now. I mean, there seems to be a trend here, don't you see? They don't want people to have fuel so that they can travel on the public right of way under their own power, and the wicked not be able to lock them in their car before they can send a SWAT team and then open the car door and take them out and take them on a journey where they can be concentration camping with Uncle Sam. They can go to the concentration camp and be camping with Uncle Sam. You know, it was George Walker Bush who used KBR the same group that made hundreds of billions of dollars in Iraq on that false flag war, that built 800 to 900 more FEMA camps in America in out-of-the-way places. You can find them if you know where to look. You know? The reality is we saw the first fruits of it where an exercise almost went live in Jade Helm 2015. That was 8 years ago. It almost went live, but there were too many people on the internet who knew what was going on. And they were more than willing to blast the bastards because there are hundreds of millions of Americans who took an oath to defend the Constitution. And they're ready to take care of business because they were taught how to kill with efficiency in the false flag wars that this sociopath, Antichrist, baby murdering, baby raping government is doing, bringing about. If you've never read The Transformation of America, TRANCEFORMATION, if you've never read that book about the CIA and the military stealing children and programming them with MK Ultra trauma-based mind control. Now they use electronics. They don't do it with mind control. They use electronics like they did this with the son of Castro, Trudeau, and I believe they did this with the nephew of Nancy Pelosi, Gavin Newsom, and they did this with people like Macron and others similar to that. They had them as children. They did this to George Walker Bush. He was one of them because people that escaped from this program remember seeing him in an exercise where the children, the young children, were released without any clothes to be hunted down from horseback or whatever, you know. The reality is they've been showing us these kinds of programs through Hollywood with, you know, Van Damme or other people who, you know, were hunted as part of our entertainment. So the issue for us is this. When the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? The foundations of our financial independence are now being destroyed. This is the real storm that Trump was talking about. It wasn't the fake storm that we were led to believe with that CIA operation called Q. No, it wasn't. This is the real storm. This is the real storm that is following up on the mass murder created by Operation Warp Speed, where millions of Americans have been given a lethal injection, and we don't know how many have already died from government-assisted suicide by lethal injection. But the reality is the cult of death are the children of Satan, the people who have not received Christ. The children of the devil do the work of their father, the devil, because he comes to murder and steal and destroy. So the shutting down of America, the face diapers and the antisocial distancing and all the other bovine excrement was also all a psychological operation to teach people obedience to lying bastards. Can you hear me now? In today's message from the Word of God, we find it first in Psalm 11, beginning in verse 1. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? The wicked want people to be afraid, see? For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. Privily, that means from secret. The wicked are cowards. They don't want to face people up front. They don't want to tell them the truth. They will lie, and they will lie, and they will lie in wait. And they will dig a pit for the innocent. But God allows this. I want to finish that story about the, you know, left behind garbage that has been produced by false shepherds and false teachers who do not know the word of God. When I saw that these people were actually, you know, using fear like they were, and they weren't teaching the word of God, they were teaching the things that they believed were implied by the word of God. They were saying, no, people don't need to go through the rapture, go through the tribulation. There's going to be a pre-tribulation rapture for those special people. And then those left behind, well, it's too late for you. Is it really? Doesn't the word of God say that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever? For people, quote, left behind, what is it? Well, they said, if you want to accept Christ, you're going to have to be a martyr. And I found that profoundly absurd, because what they're doing is threatening people with receiving the crown of a martyr that they get to have throughout eternity, giving people an opportunity to lose their life for Christ, like all the Christians did in the Colosseum under Nero and the other Caesars, where they were tortured, they were beheaded, they were thrown into the Colosseum to be slaughtered by soldiers, gladiators, or wild beasts. And they began to sing hymns, or other Christians who were bound to a stake and above a huge pile of wood, probably soaked with oil. And they began to sing the praises of God while the wood fire was lit. So people that know Christ will find the grace and the strength to endure whatever. Whatever comes. You threatening me with a martyr's crown? Giving me the grace and opportunity to testify with my willingness to lay down my life for Christ? And you're considering this to be a threat? Well, idiots and fools, unbelievers who do not fear the Lord. The word of God says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. These people don't even have the beginning of wisdom. Why? Because they don't have Christ. The word of God says Jesus Christ was made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. We don't rely on our own wisdom when we walk with God. He's my wisdom. That's why the wisdom God gives is glorious, because he is glorious. For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. Verse 3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. Praise God. The Lord made all things, yea, even the wicked, for the day of evil. He is infinitely and utterly, totally sovereign over this life. But only his children can receive this, because these are spiritual things that are only spiritually discerned and received. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold. His eyelids try the children of men. The Lord tries the righteous, but the wicked and him that loves violence, his soul hates. That's right. God hates the wicked. And they'll experience that eternal hatred that God has for them in hell. Then they'll be brought out of hell, having been quieted in infinite horror. They will be brought out of hell to stand before God in a holy judgment, where all of their deeds, all of their deceitfulness, all of their sins will be manifest and revealed to the whole host of heaven. All the righteous, all the angels will see why God, who is holy, has cast them into hell and now will cast them into the lake of fire, which burns with fire and brimstone forever and ever. The Lord tries the righteous, but the wicked in him that loves violence, his soul hates. Now here, this next sentence describes eternity. Not just time, like it was manifest when God used Elijah to call down fire upon the captain, two captains in their 50s, or where God rained down fire when Joshua was entering into the land, or when, all I'm trying to say is, when God is showing us this in this next verse, it's something significant, because you have to understand where this is coming from. Upon the wicked, he shall rain snares. That's a trap. They won't be able to escape. Fire and brimstone and an horrible tempest, this shall be the portion of their cup. This is talking about raining fire down on the wicked. Remember God's covenant with his people and the righteous children of Israel, children of Judea, in truth. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were cast into a fiery furnace that was heated 7 times hotter than normal. And when Nebuchadnezzar looked into that fiery furnace, he saw them walking around with someone else who looked like the Son of God. The people who are here when the fires of heaven come down on the earth, they will be protected. Some people have said that the fires that martyrs were experiencing, some of those martyrs actually were singing throughout the whole experience, and then the Lord just took them, but there was no evidence they were feeling any pain at all while their fleshly body was being consumed. Verse 7, for the righteous Lord loves righteousness. His countenance does behold the upright. Do you perceive in your Christian experience that God is looking at you? His eyelids try the children of men. When God looks at me, what does he see? Well, his understanding is infinite. He knows with infinite understanding who Michael J. is and what I am facing. And he is watching me and waiting to see how I respond to the fiery trials he sends into my life, if they're necessary. God is gracious. 540-352-4452. We're coming onto the end of the first hour. Please consider calling in. If you know Christ, this is an opportunity for you to confess Christ. Don't be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ, because if you refuse, when God is showing you, to confess Christ before men, well, the Word of God says, those that deny Christ, that when the Lord Jesus comes back with the Father and his holy angels, the Lord will deny you before the Father. You might say something like, I don't know him. See, judgment is coming. These natural things that are happening are just the first fruits of it. Judgment is coming. If you're ready to meet Christ, he will give you what you need to go through the things that are coming upon the earth. He will give you what you need. As it is written, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. You need to start feeding on the word of God, because faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the word of God. So, 540-352-4452. This is the Reveille program, a wake-up call. My name is Michael J. I encourage you to call in, confess Christ, share with us what you believe Christ is showing you, and, you know, consider others more important than yourself, and offer a word of testimony to encourage other believers, because we're members one of another, those who are in holy fellowship with one another. Experience this amazing grace and joyous and loving fellowship by the Spirit. So, thank you for joining me in the first hour. I hope you'll join me in the next hour also. We're going to get into Proverbs 12, because today is the 12th of March. And there's some wonderful verses in here that will impart faith and understanding for those that God has given eyes that see and ears that hear. I use the King James Version. And I kid around with people who know the Bible, because I say, if the King James Version was good enough for Paul, it's good enough for me. And some of you will get that. But the issue is, God has a sense of humor, as it is written, he that sits in the heavens will laugh. We'll be right back.
I am Bill Johnson. Some consider my efforts to be an underground law school. I am not an attorney, and I do not give legal advice. I teach. That's lawful and legal. Consider yourself served. You are to appear Wednesday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, Studio A. My forte? Foreclosure and contract law. Grab your legal pad and pen. Learn a broad spectrum of law, spanning administrative, criminal, family, tort, and federal law. Fools and losers cling to old cases. I dissect and comment on the latest rulings that control the courts. Don't be a loser. And if you don't appear, you will be held in contempt.
After a long day of research and trying to wake people up to what's going on in our world, I need to take a break and find my center. I do this by listening to music or watching a great movie. If you find yourself doing the same, then come chill out with me every Saturday night from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Studio B, Crypt Rick's The Decompression Hour. It's time to put down that research and crank your stereo.
Alert, 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 alert alert, 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 alert. Listen up now.
Tune into Bitune Corner with Control 0XE0513. We talk about decentralization and bank annihilation.
Bitcoin, Litecoin, MyCoin, YourCoin, Blockchain, baby.
Mondays at 1600 hours Eastern Studio A.
When the storms of life are raging, stand by me.
Stand by me.
When the storms of life are raging, stand by me.
Stand by me.
When the world is tossing me like a ship upon the sea, thou who rulest wind and water, stand by me.
Stand by me.
In the midst of tribulation, stand by me.
Stand by me.
In the midst of tribulation, stand by me.
Stand by me.
When the hosts of hell assail, and my strength begins to fail, thou who never lost a battle, stand by me.
Stand by me. In the midst of faults and failures, stand by me. Stand by me.
In the midst of faults and failures, stand by me.
Stand by me. When I do the best I can, and my friends misunderstand.
Growing old and feeble, stand by me.
Stand by me.
When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me.
Stand by me.
When my life becomes a burden, and I'm nearing chilly Jordan, O thou lily of the valley, stand by me.
Stand by me. Stand by me. Stand by me.
Praise God, this is Michael J. And I really love that song. God is good. There are a lot of people waiting. Because God's people are shown by revelation that there's this great, huge cloud of witnesses watching what God is doing in the earth. And they are seeing what the Holy Spirit is doing in His children, in giving us what we need to find the grace to know that God is standing by us. He said to me the very first day I met Him, through the scripture, I will never leave you or forsake you. But how long it was that I was tried again and again before I found the grace in humbling myself, and even by His grace, to believe that He had not left me nor forsook me, because I was persuaded that, you know, I shouldn't have problems once I came to Christ. And yet, The problems are what God uses to teach me, as it is written. In faithfulness, thou hast afflicted me that I might learn your law. God allows us to be afflicted so that we can be perfected in Christ. And Christ himself was perfected in the sufferings he endured for me. He is the captain of my salvation. So because he went through all these things, he is compassionate. He knows how, by his own experience, not only as God, but as the God-man, he took on himself flesh so he could be able to utterly identify with us. As it is written, he ever lives to make intercession for us. He's moved by compassion. He knows what it's like to be a man and to go through the things that men face. He was perfected in utter obedience, even unto death, even the death of the cross. So in Proverbs chapter 12, we're going to begin to read here and consider the wisdom of God. But again, I'm inviting people at any time to call this number, bear witness to Christ. It doesn't matter how many times you call in what, you know, don't call more than one time in a program. But the issue is, it doesn't matter if Christ is giving you grace or if you're seeking the Lord and you want prayer. Call in, because the Lord is the one who invites people into this amazing grace of receiving forgiveness and eternal life and confessing that Jesus Christ is the Lord. So, beginning at verse 1, whoso loves instruction loves knowledge. But he that hates reproof is brutish. That's right. People are warned again and again, and they continue to do things that are self-destructive. So the word of God says that he that hates reproof is brutish. That is, we deal with ourselves with some psychological and emotional brutality because of the willfulness and stubbornness and self-centeredness that justifies our behavior, our anger, our unwillingness to forgive, our addictions to different kinds of lusts. We know that they're damaging, but we have eyes that don't see. We have ears that don't hear. Men have a heart that does not understand. Our friend, someone who I'm looking forward to meeting, hallelujah, Jeremiah. Wow, what a life he lived before God. But he said, the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Does that man mean that a man's heart is more deceitful than the heart of Satan? I believe it does. See, Satan was never made in the image of God. God made man in his image. But Satan, a fallen angel, highly placed cherub, Lucifer, Satan, was the choir master of heaven. But I think in both spiritual beings and physical beings, sin makes people and angels, I think, stupid. They can never learn. They can never stop doing evil. It makes them stupid. They actually oppose themselves, because everything that Satan does in the earth, using demons to motivate others to do evil, they have to reap also forever and ever. Every act that they commit against mankind, they have to reap. And they can't stop doing evil. See what I'm saying? A man, excuse me, a good man obtains favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. See, the people that are bringing about the destruction of having our ability to have currency, this is not necessary. If we had lawful currency, like, you know, the Constitution requires, no state will make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debt, that currency cannot inflate. The gold, in all honesty, gains in value concerning fractional reserve so-called dollars, which a dollar is a unit of measure, like an ounce. A dollar of silver was so many grains of silver. That was a dollar of silver. It was a weight. You wouldn't, you know, understand this unless you consider what happens when you go to a butcher and say, I want 5 pounds of beef. You wouldn't just go up to him and say, I want 5 pounds, unless you're in Britain and you're dealing with pound notes or pounds of gold, but they don't have that. They're fractional reserve. That's where it started. But actually, you know, false weights and measures started long before the city of London. False weights and measures have been rebuked for thousands of years by the word of God. So a man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved. We need to consider this in the context of time and eternity. We can see people like George Soros and what is occurring in his visage. It seems like if some of the pictures I've seen of that guy and some of the pictures I saw of G.H.W. Bush, that the older they got, the more and more like a ghoul they became. And the reality is David Rockefeller, who wound up with 5 hearts from other people, I'm persuaded that those hearts, he didn't have to wait for somebody to die in a car accident, because he was a very good sponsor of communist China, and America had supplied to communist China mobile organ extraction units, big vans where they would bring the person that they volunteered to give his heart or whatever, or his eyes or whatever other organ, and they would take that organ and you know, and because the Chinese people actually eat human flesh, they would send the rest of that healthy body to be somebody's dinner. If you don't know that that's the truth, do some study. The reality is, without the law of God, people become animals. They'll even admit to it. They'll confess that they're descendants of animals because they don't have faith. They don't believe that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. They don't believe that. Their materialistic atheism justifies their sense of an unwillingness, an indifference towards the living God. And considering Romans chapter 1, we see the condition of man's hearts as they hold the truth in unrighteousness, so God turns them over. And they become reprobate and given over to many inconvenient things. Why is it inconvenient? Because every time you sin against others and sin against yourself and sin against God, you introduce another level of spiritual death into your life. The wages of sin is death. You can kill a relationship. You can kill a job. You can kill a family by sin. And kill a nation by sin. And that's what we're seeing happening. A man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved. See, people can't understand the depths or the breadth or the dimensions of wickedness in somebody like Soros or Schwab or Gates or the head of the World Health Organization, we can't relate to it because this is a manifestation of a great spiritual evil. And many people are not spiritual, so they can't really believe that people are capable of this until something happens. People have a tendency, a default, to remain in unbelief or remain in denial. So somebody came up with a saying that, oh no, that you won't believe this is going to happen to you until your own cow gets gored by that your wicked neighbor's bull who allowed his bull to come in and start taking out competition because he let his fence, intentionally caused his fence to be broken down. The wicked don't believe in boundaries, by the way, and they hate people that have boundaries and want to hold on to them. Like, you know, the only real marriage is in between a man and a woman. And sodomy is an abomination to the Lord. And might makes right. A lot of people are filled with demonic delusions because they actually believe that they can do evil and that good will come from it. Well, yeah, for the wicked, like those who are into, you know, open and blatant robbery, they might have the ability to take other people's money and benefit from it, but essentially they're not looking at the fact that they're going to have to reap what they sowed. They had an opportunity to actually do good in this life by using their money to help the poor. They don't read the stories in the Bible like the rich man and Lazarus. They don't understand that allowing the poor around you to continue to perish when you have the ability to get everybody in America off the streets and into their homes and living a good life. No, they don't want to see that. They have to believe, they have to build more aircraft carriers so they can name them after pedophiles. Like Bush. Now, where's, oh, Clinton's not dead yet. Oh, no, I don't think he's going to get an aircraft carrier named after him unless it's already being built. But the issue is, you know, Bill stays around. I'm not sure the woman who pretends to be Hillary is real or if Hillary died because she couldn't get enough adrenochrome. But the reality is they've been naming aircraft carriers after wicked people like Ford and Bush. Because that's, they name these huge multi-billion dollar ships after the criminals, because that's what the criminals in their mind think is the most significant thing where they can be honored. And thousands of people will, you know, have to salute going aboard that ship, you know, the USS George Bush. He was a murderous pedophile. A traitor. He was involved in the murder of the last gracious president, John F. Kennedy. People don't understand because they're not looking at things with spiritual eyes. One, in verse 4, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that makes ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. A wicked woman will bring a man down, just like Jezebel brought down Ahab when he was encouraged to repent. She destroyed him. The thoughts of the righteous, hallelujah, are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. It's very important, if we want to walk with God, that we allow our mouth to be in agreement with him and confess the truth he is showing us. like this man is doing right now. It's important to do this. The power of life and death is in the tongue. What are you allowing your mouth to say? Are you giving your mouth to vanity? Talking about your football games and that you got the clot shot so you could go see the basketball games and go to the movie houses? We've warned you about the vax passport. And you looked at that, considered that we were fools not to get the clot shot. But I'll tell you, people that understand the truth, none of us are sorry we didn't allow ourselves to be injured with that mRNA biological warfare weapon. None of us are sorry. The thoughts of the righteous are right. Hallelujah. The counsel of the wicked are deceit. Remember, I took the shot. You need to go out and get the shot. Franklin Graham said if Jesus was here, he'd take the shot. What a lying bastard that man is. A good Freemason, though, but a lying bastard. And an Antichrist fool. That he thinks that Jesus Christ would take the shot who used to raise people from the dead, cleanse lepers by the word of his mouth, open blind eyes using some mud. That this fool thinks that Jesus, the Son of the living God, needed to have a shot in order to defeat some sickness. There are layers and layers and layers of deceit. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. Words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. The wicked are overthrown and are not. I want to see that demonstrated with wonderful clarity. Go and read Psalm 37. Just write it down. You don't have to go now. The wicked are overthrown and are not, but the house of the righteous will stand. What house am I talking about? The same one where I'm describing, he sets a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He anoints my head with oil. He fills my cup to overflowing. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The house of the righteous shall stand. Who is the righteous? Well, Jesus Christ is my righteousness. My righteousness, he is the righteous. The righteous man, the last Adam, who paid the price that all men have paid since the first Adam sold us into slavery by his rebellion and unbelief, his disobedience. A man shall be commended according to his wisdom, but he that is of a perverse heart shall be despised. I know there are so many wicked people that are despised in this generation, especially because we watch them in their arrogance continue in their bold-faced lying, even though it's very evident to millions of Americans that these bastards, these fools, are committing treason. And they are, the Word of God says, but he that is of a perverse heart shall be despised. He that is despised and has a servant is better than he that honors himself and lacks bread. Well, that's an interesting thing. The issue is the wicked in many ways are more righteous, are more wise than the righteous who don't continue in the graces of discipline. Okay? People that are trusting in God continue to be very lax in their walk with God. But the issue is, are they really righteous? Because David said, I've been young and now I'm old. Yet have I never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. The reality is, God cares for his children. We're more important than birds, and your Father in heaven feeds the birds. When God puts us into trial and we don't know where our next meal is coming from, the Word of God exhorts us, trust in your Father in heaven. Okay? And we see the prodigal son going back to his father's house. And his father made a feast for him. Even though he has spent all his living, all of his inheritance on partying and prostitutes, his father told his angry elder brother, don't you see? Your brother was dead and now he's alive. Your brother was lost and he's been found. So the father put a beautiful garment on his son, put a ring on his finger, and made a feast for him because he was welcoming him back into his house. You know, a righteous man will fall 7 times, but the Lord will hold him up and not allow him to be totally destroyed. Because in this world, we are tried. And in this world, there is failure. And in this world, we walk in our own understanding and we neglect to hear that still small voice that would guide us. And yet, Job experienced the trial, the fiery trial that God allowed him to experience. And yet, he said, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. See, we're taught to love God by God. God teaches us to love. And God shows us that we love God because he first loved us. Don't expect to be able to obey God until God gives you the grace to receive his love. And you can't receive the love of God apart from receiving the evidence of that love, and that is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, including yours. We love God because he first loved us and gave his son to be the propitiation for our sins. You want to read a wonderful book? Read the Gospel of John. After you read that Gospel, go and read the first letter of John, the first epistle of John. It's right before Jude and Revelation. These books mirror one another, but the letters of John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, written by the same man who wrote the book of Revelation, these letters and the gospel reveal the I Am. The I Am the way, the truth, and the life. The I Am the good shepherd. The I Am the door. The I Am that I Am. It reveals that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. He said, before Abraham was, I Am. He was manifest when he met with Abraham and told Abraham, and his wife, that he was about to receive the promised son, Isaac. And then he told Abraham what he was going to do in Sodom and Gomorrah, because he said, I will tell my friend what I'm going to do. So he tells us about what he's bringing about on the earth. He that is despised and has a servant is better than he that honors himself and lacks bread. A lot of people can actually walk in spiritual pride, and because of that, they will miss the provision that God has for them, because God will show us something like, a man who's visited by some friends, and he goes to his neighbor's house in the middle of the night and says, some people have come, and I don't have any bread to feed them. Will you lend me some bread? Okay. The word of God says better is a friend that is, a neighbor that is near than a brother that is far off. Some people are waiting for the provision of God, not realizing that they have a neighbor that God will use to help them. But they're prideful. And the reality is that if they don't know how to be a good neighbor themselves, they won't believe that others are able to be a good neighbor. The word of God says in the next verse, verse 10, I love this verse. A righteous man regards the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. My heavenly Father gave me a beast. She's right next to me right now. She's on her side, and I'm scratching her belly. She's a Siberian forest cat. She's awesome, and because she's from Siberia, I called her Babushka. She's a big kitty. Lots of hair, big teeth, and I finally learned how to play with her, because when I was trying to play with her before, her version of playing is all four paws with all five claws and an open mouth chomping down on me was her version of playing. And I usually ended up punctured. But I learned that if I stopped moving, she would stop, because she realized I didn't want to play that rough. So the word of God says the righteous man regards the life of his beast. She was a feral cat. I found her outside, wet, cold, dirty, hungry, crying. And God had answered prayer, because I was praying about getting a cat. He sent her to me, feral. He sent her to me. And now she's a big love bug. And she enjoys being loved. He that tills his land shall be satisfied with bread. But he that follows vain persons is void of understanding. We used to have victory gardens. We used to have gardens. We used to have our own property. All of this has been removed from us in every real sense of the word by an unjust, unlawful, immoral legal system. Because, by the way, the legal system in America is not a lawful system. You can legalize child sacrifice and call it a woman's right and abortion. You can legalize taking the cells of children and sending them to Hershey or to that creature in that Mormon devil worshiper in Utah who makes the dairy creamers, Nestle. You can send these cells, this human flesh of babies, to him so he can use them to enhance the flavor in his coffee creamer. You can legally do that in America. But you'll never be able to lawfully do it, because it's murder. It's child sacrifice. It's an abomination to use the flesh of children made in the image of God in the graces of procreation. So we have an unlawful legal system, and we're about to experience its great might in legally destroying others by pushing us into great tribulation and great trials and afflictions. Why? Well, you can legally create money out of nothing and buy food distribution plants, put an insurance policy on them, and then burn them down. This is what was in Larry Silverstein's venue. Got double indemnity for a terrorist attack. And then the Mossad and the CIA and our military destroyed the Twin Towers, plus Building 7. The reality is he made billions, but is that little bastard still alive? I don't know. But if he is, he's closer to hell in the lake of fire right today than he ever has been. And I don't see any evidence that he repented, because for somebody to repent of something like that, it would, I believe, need to be confessed openly. That would be confessing the truth, which is Christ, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I believe the Lord, in order for these people to find forgiveness and repentance, even though they know that they deserve to be executed for treason and mass murder and corruption, the reality is confessing Christ means that in God's economy, if you have sinned against others, even literally millions, because they used the attack against the Pentagon and World Trade Center, they used that to justify their mass murder in conquering seven nations in 5 years. The reality is, all of these people, if they haven't repented and confessed their sin, can these people actually find forgiveness and repentance with their deathbed confessions? I don't know. A deathbed confession doesn't necessarily mean that they have received Christ. They might want to do it like some magic wand and see if, it works. But if God isn't giving them repentance, because the Word of God says he hates the wicked and the devices of the wicked, if God hasn't given them repentance, they're still going to go to hell. He that tills his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that follows vain persons is void of understanding. If you go along as an Air Force crew and continue to poison the people with your chemtrails, you're a lying, stupid, treasonous fool, guilty of murder and injury, and you will be destroyed, even though the pay is good. The wicked desires the net of evil men, but the root of the righteous yields fruit. That's right. Wicked people want to get in collusion with other wicked people so they can make a score. But the root of the righteous yields fruit. What is the root? He grew up before us as a root out of dry ground. Isaiah 53. He's the vine and we're the branches. For believers, Christ is the vine, and finding the grace to abide in him allows us as branches to experience the holy life of Christ, making us fruitful in the eternal things of God. A man is satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands shall be rendered unto him. The power of life and death is in the tongue. If you're speaking loving words to the righteous, and if you're speaking words of warning to the wicked, there will be a reward. I don't warn the wicked because I hate them. I warn the wicked because I believe that that's what God told me to do. And I'm walking in the fear of God. I don't warn the wicked because I hate them. I warn the wicked because, except for the grace of God, that would be me. He lets his sun shine on the just and the unjust. He lets his rain fall on the righteous and the wicked. The Word of God says, be ye perfect. The issue is, we don't understand the things of God until God reveals them to us by his Spirit, draws us to himself through the Spirit of God, which is the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ, and gives us the grace to believe in the one who takes away our sin by the blood of the Lamb. The way of the fool is right in his own eyes, and he that hearkens unto counsel is wise. If we're listening to the counsel that God gives us in Christ, who was made wisdom for all men who believe, he will be your wisdom. 1 Corinthians, first chapter. A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covers shame. We don't have to be cruel in exhorting others to do right, in exposing them with backbiting and tale-bearing. We don't need to do that. If a man sins against you, go to him in private. If he receives it, good. Then you've regained a friend. But if he continues in his perversion, take another brother, a godly man, or another sister, if you're a sister, and go and encourage and exhort them in gentleness, in meekness, guarding your own soul from temptation. He that speaks truth shows forth righteousness, but a false witness shows deceit. What does that mean? Exactly what it says. God is good. He that speaks truth shows forth righteousness, but a false witness shows deceit. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. That's people that are wounding others with their words. It speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. You can encourage people who are walking in their foolishness just by loving them, smiling, telling them, hey, man, I'm praying for you. I know you're going through something. The lip of truth shall be established forever. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Why? Well, the truth is eternal. A lie is about something that doesn't really exist. A lie is not based on truth. A lie exists, but it's about something that doesn't exist. Like you could say, yeah, I took care of business and took the garbage out last night. Well, if the garbage is still under the kitchen sink, what you said was not something that was evident in that the garbage can is still full and it exists under the kitchen sink. This is not rocket science, or like I like to say, rocket surgery. This is God's grace in your life. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil. Event 201. These people were filled with deceit. Agenda 2030. People filled with wickedness and deceit. But to the counselors of peace is joy. People that counsel peace, there is joy there because they're sowing, you know, with encouragements for peace, for joy, for loving one another, for considering others more important than themselves. There shall no evil happen to the just, but the wicked shall be filled with mischief. This doesn't seem to make any sense for people who don't understand God, because many just are actually, you know, suffering from evil. But we have to understand that God's perfection always points to an eternal reality. Yes, there's a blessing that makes rich and has no sorrow with it in this life. But the greatest blessing the world has ever received came out of the greatest crime that was ever committed, and the murder of the most gentle, holy, loving being the creation had ever witnessed, and that was God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, who took my sin on himself. And he suffered that I might receive eternal life. That's where redemption happens. He paid a debt he didn't owe. I owed a debt I couldn't pay. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. Put God to delight in you. Ask him for the grace you need to tell the truth. Starting with yourself. Tell the truth to somebody that for some reason God may show you actually cares about you and loves you, and ask them to pray for you. You see, there are many people that watch others and they don't say a word because God hasn't shown them to do that. But they're there waiting for the people they're praying for to at some level reach out so that they can speak an encouraging word to them. A prudent man conceals knowledge. That's right. He doesn't say what's unnecessary. He conceals knowledge. But the heart of fools proclaims foolishness. Like, you know, I don't care what you say about the shot. I want to go to my basketball games and I'm going to take the shot. What does that mean? Exactly what it says. They're going to take the shot. They didn't receive the wisdom that a loving friend or neighbor attempted to impart. A prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaims foolishness. When you need to warn somebody, you don't conceal that. I don't have any wisdom in myself. Like Paul said, I know that in me, that is in myself, there dwells no good thing. But I know that Jesus Christ is my wisdom. I know that. Why? Because by revelation, God has shown that to me. I'm not depending on my own understanding. I'm in agreement with God. If God says it, I need the grace to believe it, and I need the grace to confess when I don't believe it, even though I know God said it. Like the man said, he was asking Jesus to heal his son who was possessed by a demon who was trying to kill him, throwing him in the water, throwing him in the fire, trying to kill him. And the Lord said, you know, all things are possible to him who believes. And the man said, I believe, Lord, but heal my unbelief. And if the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Heaviness in the heart of a man makes it stoop, but a good word makes it glad. The righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduces them. The slothful man roasts not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. In the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof, there is no death. Remember, this is about eternal principles, and those that have received the Lamb of God will not see eternal death, which is the lake of fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. That is the end of my sharing out of the Word of God directly for what I had perceived prior to this, what I had perceived that God wanted me to share. And I give thanks to God because he's the one who helps me to prepare a meal for others from the living Word of God, the bread of life, and bringing what? A cup filled with living water. Only God can do that. Now, I'm still moving to warn the wicked because I don't know what God is doing or who he's sharing these things with. This program can be heard on various radio stations and internet around the whole flat earth. Yes, God has shown me by revelation and proven it to me by science. I used to teach physics. I'm serious. God has shown me by science that the earth is not a globe. It is not spinning. It is fixed on foundations. It is immovable. And God placed the sun and the moon and the stars in the firmament right above us. And they can't get beyond the firmament. We've never been to the moon. And if they got to the moon, they wouldn't have been able to land on it because it's not physical. It's a manifestation of energy. It's not physical. Reality is. People who have been listening and conditioned to listen to people who themselves have been deceived, have been handed secondhand, a hundred hand, information based on lies, because believing that the earth is a globe spinning, you know, in a very small solar system, in a very small, insignificant galaxy, you know, in an ever expanding universe, all of this is lies. And this man loves space opera, you know, spaceships, warp speed, the whole thing. I'm talking about science fiction here, not the gift of that Judas goat, Donald John Trump. But the reality is, I love that stuff. I love military science fiction. I used to teach science. I used to be in the military. I was a tank driver, I went airborne, I was paratrooper, weapons instructor, loadmaster in C-5A and C-5B Galaxy aircraft in the 1980s. I love, you know, lots of big machines and stuff like that. But God is good. He lets me enjoy these things, but I look at them in context. The most important thing I can do with my life is share the love of God through my faith in Christ and speak the words that God has given me to speak. Here we are in Revelation 21, and you're going to see the significance of this if you hang in there. I'm encouraging, this is like the last call. Want to call in 540-352-4452. Verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Remember when the flames of the fire from heaven on Mount Carmel, where Elijah called on God to accept his sacrifice and consume it with fire. The fire came down, but Elijah had his sacrifice covered with water. Three different loads of water were put on that sacrifice. And when the flames came down, it consumed the water, it consumed the sacrifice, and it consumed the stones. It was so hot. It was fire and brimstone, which is pure pure brimstone, which is, brimstone is, I don't think it's phosphorus. Yeah, I guess it could be. But anyway, it consumed it because it's so hot. And the brimstone, which could be another element, my mind is spacing out. The brimstone that fell on Sodom and Gomorrah, many of those balls of flaming, that flaming element, they found them. They called them petrified balls of sulfur. That's what it was. Thank you. Petrified balls of sulfur. They tested it. It was 99 point whatever percent pure sulfur, which cannot be found anywhere on Earth. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of the heavens saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write these words, for they are true and faithful. He said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give to him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone. There's the sulfur, which is the second death. And then he said in verse 9, and there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials filled with the seven last plagues. And he talked with me, saying, come here, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone, most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. That's Revelation 21. It's good to read the word of God out loud. It's good to encourage the Lord and magnify him. As David said in Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. Thank you for joining me.
Against their tyranny. Number 3 is my radio broadcast. I'm squarely in front of the public all the time, and they all know what's going on.
For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence.
Hello, my name is John Wayne, and I do a broadcast here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio, called The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
Freedom and fear are at war.
And folks, I assure you, we are in defense condition 1. As we journey perilously through this paradigm that we currently reside in, and I ask that you join me every Saturday, 8 to 10 p.m., Eastern Standard Time, for the unequivocal truth, DEFCON 1.
We shall never surrender.
If you think for one second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do. And we must fight back! You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope.
tried and we've tried for years and years.